Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
I have devoted my entire life to serving the city that I love, where I was born, and I'm going to continue to do that all the way to victory in November.
And she knows it's on. She's. I hope she's ready, you know, because I literally could not be more excited.
Ooh, that's got a nice beat, and you can dance to it, too. Spencer yeah. Pratt's music there. That's Karen Bass, who is the incumbent mayor. Let's go to the left coast and visit with our good friend, Dwayne Patterson from HotAir.com and the Dwayne's World podcast. Good afternoon. How are you doing post-primary day?
Oh, you know, I'm in suspension just like everybody else is here, waiting for the other half of the vote to be counted. Hello, Mark. Hello, Sue. How are you?
We're good, but, I mean, we legit can't even handicap this because it takes so long to get the votes in, right?
Yep. Because they've got to figure out now how many votes they got to manufacture and mail into themselves to figure out how this works.
Well, it's great chatting with you, Dwayne. We'll talk next Wednesday. I appreciate it.
Okay. Let's walk through this because
okay.
I'm actually not as doom and gloomy as I would have been yesterday, and I'll explain why. If I've got a little runway here, I'll tell you what's going on.
Of course, you do. Yes.
Okay. So, governor's race and the mayor's race is really similar in that if it was a head-to-head, if it was one Democrat and one Republican, right? If the Republican in the primary isn't ahead, or in the general isn't ahead by 10 points, right, by election day, if they don't build a 10-point cushion on election day, the after 37 days of mail-in ballots that are going to come into the state, including you can actually fill out your ballot and put the stamp on it and get it into the mail 2 weeks from now, right?
Wait,
it's insane. It's insane.
Okay.
It's insane. But that's this is Guatemala. This is how we do elections here. So for the next 37 days, ballots are going to come in. God only knows when they were filled out. So if you don't have a 10-point win as a Republican, they're going to manufacture enough votes, and 80% of the votes that are going to come in are going to be for the Democrat, and you're going to lose. It's just how it's going to be.
Yeah, look, we have a microcosm of this here in St. Louis County, where votes over the years for St. Louis County Executive have looked somewhat maybe promising for the Republican, who will never get elected in St. Louis County. And then all of a sudden, North County votes come in late, and boom, it's for the Democrats. So, we are a little familiar with that here.
Now, here's what's different this time. These are both jungle primaries, so that everybody left or right is on the ballot, and there's 50 people on the ballot, right? And so only the top two advance. Well, two of the three are Democrats in both of these races, and there's one Republican that's in the top three. Right now, at the top of the ticket, Steve Hilton is in first, over Javier Baqueria, Joe Biden's aptly named.
No, wait a second here. Because the one thing about Becerra that I call him Xavier Becerra, but I hear people call him Javier. Does he go by both names or something?
No, it's because when Joe Biden, the president of the United States, nominated him to be the Health and Human Services Secretary, as addled as Joe Biden was when he left office, when he nominated him in the run up to inauguration day in December and January of 21, he said, "Here is my Health and Human Services Secretary," and he's standing right beside him, and he turns to him and he says, "Here is Javier Baqueria."
Oh, that's why you said the name that way. Okay. Oh, my goodness.
That's how he introduced him.
That is unbelievable.
He didn't know him from Adam when he nominated him.
And by the way, we have a real-life example of some of that more from Joe Biden last night at this event for Jill's book, and I'll play that audio a little later. I'm sure you're familiar as well. But here, this is what's interesting to me is, look, right now, and it says 60% of the voting. Karen Bass has 34% of the vote, 172,720. Spencer Pratt, though, 151,000 votes. But these are still low numbers, right? And you got an area that's got millions and millions of people. Do you expect the numbers? Because usually when you get early numbers, sometimes they hold. I understand what you're saying about Democrats, but can we kind of expect that Steve Hilton is going to be in that runoff and that Spencer Pratt is going to be in the runoff as well?
Here's why. Because it's not what place you're in now as a Republican with two Democrats that are around you. It's how far you are from third place. And right now, both of them are both about the same distance from third place. If you look at Steve Hilton, he's about 8-9 points ahead of Tom Steyer in third place.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, so that's not the 10% rule. You're only at 8%, but now you're in a three-person race, meaning unless that magically the however many 45% of the vote or whatever it is that's going to come in the next 37 days, 80% of that would all have to be Tom Steyer votes and not Becerra votes. And the odds of that happening organically are
very low.
I mean, there's no way that's going to happen, right? They're going to be split between the two of them, so he can't close an 8-point gap. Look at Spencer Pratt. He is in second place to Karen Bass, but he's 8 points or so ahead of Nithya Raman. And if Raman was going to surpass him, 80% of the vote that's still to come would have to be for Nithya Raman. And you've got to think that Karen Bass is going to get a chunk of those.
Of course. Yeah, that just makes sense mathematically.
So,
by the way,
I think they're both going
to
make it.
One thing that's interesting to me, and I saw this in the LA Times, I don't know if this is a big deal. It seems like a big deal to me. You are also electing a superintendent of public instruction, California superintendent of public instruction.
Sonia Shaw.
And she's in the lead, a Republican, right?
Oh, thank God.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I haven't seen her race, but man, the state needs her in the worst way.
That is amazing.
Love her to
so,
pieces.
But doesn't that don't these numbers look? I find it. You know California a lot better than I do. Okay, I find it very difficult to believe that in the end, in November, that Karen Bass is not going to be elected mayor. But I think Steve Hilton has like a legit shot at this point.
He does.
Yeah.
He actually does at this point. Just because the state is so blinking corrupt,
right.
At some point, everybody's looking around going, you're telling me we can't do any better than this. He actually has a chance. I'd say it's still an uphill climb, but if as long as he's still got a chance in November, there's still lots of fraud that's going to come out in California between now and November, and all that's going to play into Hilton's hands.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. It really is. So let's talk about, there's a couple other things. I'm going to spend a little bit of time here in the 5:30 segment talking about Grant Plattner. I want your take on this quickly just because I feel like I'm missing something here. Everything about this guy is despicable. And I know that Republican candidates have some baggage too. But the way that they're not backing down from him is rather crazy to me. Chuck Schumer and, you know, Bernie, obviously. Yep. Now, you still think that in the end, the Republican, Susan Collins, is going to win that. But, you know, obviously, Plattner is making this interesting. So any new interpretation of that whole crazy situation out there in Maine?
The worst is yet to come on Graham Plattner. I've got this on multiple accounts. There is a story percolating in one of the bigs. See, here's the thing about Graham Plattner. And you know that cut from Chuck Schumer, that montage where he said the same thing over and over and over again.
He said the same thing.
We're going to beat Susan Collins and we're going to take over the Senate. And he said it 1,000 times. The thing is, he had that Cheshire Cat grin on his face. And I talked to Jim Talent about this on the podcast last night. I know he was just on with you, and just closing the triangle, he was on Hugh's show today that I produced. So
that's so funny.
It was this weird triangle. And there are no finer gentlemen in the country than Jim Talent. I adore that man more than you could possibly know. He is a genuinely a nice man, but I've treated him for years as my own personal poli-sci professor.
Oh, I know,
He has forgotten more than we'll ever know.
He spoke very highly of you as well, but you talked about Hugh, so let me ask you about this, because this kind of is flying under the radar. This guy out in New Jersey, Adam Hamaway.
This guy will be the most radical member of the House of Representatives by a lot. He'll make the squad look conservative if he wins, and given that it's New Jersey, he'll probably win.
So my understanding is he actually testified as a witness for the defense for the blind sheikh.
He defended the blind sheikh, the guy that tried to blow up the World Trade Center the first time.
Yeah.
That our friend Andy McCarthy prosecuted. No, the guy's not a good guy. And, you know, between him and Plattner the Nazi and Mohammed El-Sadai in Michigan, there are just all sorts of creeps going on. Here's the fun part. The Harvard-Harris poll. Did you see this poll?
No, I don't think
yesterday?
So. No.
Harvard-Harris just came out with a brand new generic congressional ballot map amongst just registered voters, not likely voters, registered voters. It's a D+1 situation right now. Among likely voters, it's a D+2. Now, Harvard Harris is a reputable pollster. They've been wrong before, but they've also been not too far off. If they've got a pulse on it where it's no longer D+8 country because they're fielding a bunch of just wacko candidates, and it's really more like a D+2 map, then all of a sudden, things aren't quite so bad, are they?
Yeah, well, the quality of the candidate matters, and this is true on the Republican side, but you're right, because that kind of stuff could certainly get exposed. Let me ask you, just because I've been celebrating for nearly 24 hours, but your thoughts on Scott Pelley. Now, that got a little more interesting today. He fired back a little bit. Barry fired back in a conference call. I just went over some of that. But, I mean, the arrogance of Scott Pelley thinking he's bigger than the institution that is CBS News is quite something.
Now, I work for Salem. You work for KFK.
Odyssey.
You work for Odyssey, right? If Odyssey had announced that they were going to replace Becky, right, and they brought in a new SVP, and you don't like that new SVP, and so you come on the airwaves at the second day of the new week, which is Monday, you people are wrong. If they brought in somebody that you didn't like, and you went on and said, because they let Becky go and they brought this new person in, blah, 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 and you went full Scott Pelley on the air, how long would you remain employed?
Not very long, especially with my HR file. It wouldn't take
long.
Neither
would I.
Yeah.
Neither would I. The audacity that Scott Pelley and Jim Acosta and Don Lemon and all these clowns that got blown out for being doofuses that think they're entitled because that they are lefty journos and this is the way their world always worked, that they think they're entitled to guaranteed employment and that it's only going to, that the journalism is only going to be done one way, the progressive way from now on, or else. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Enjoy
your time on a podcast that five people listen to.
It is ridiculous. And what was reported on this afternoon, because Pelley has fired more shots, he actually is making a claim, and it's hilarious, that they were trying to inject bias into his stories. He actually said those words. Does he not know who he's worked for the last couple of decades?
I know. Look in the mirror, dude. Look, I mean, just the amount of 60-minute stories that turned out to be utter propaganda and just full of nonsense is, you know, you would need both hands and at least a foot and a half to be able to count just in the last decade alone.
But people don't know. That's the problem. You know, you illustrate and highlight this. Hugh does. I do also. But let's face it, the majority of the country, they don't really understand the level of bias that, you know, is being imported from these legacy media outlets on them on a regular basis. Because let's face it, people are, you know, they're busy, they're following stuff on TikTok and on Twitter. And that's why I try to, you know, highlight it. But look, we're kind of preaching to the choir here. And the people that still think that CBS News or that 60 Minutes is the standard of journalism, they just have no idea what's happened.
Nope. Nobody's watching them as much. They don't matter. People are getting news from podcasts. They're getting news from radio. They're getting news from different outlets online. Nobody cares what Scott Pelley thinks. I'm sorry. He's just not that important.
He's not all that in a bag of chips. That's right. Hey, going back to a previous reference from the show, we were talking about why some people think Sunday is the first day of the week. We think Monday is the first day of the week.
You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You atheist, unbelieving person, you.
Is that why?
Here's the reason why. Okay. The Sabbath was always the beginning of the week, right?
Okay. All right?
Pre-Jesus, the Sabbath was, which is Saturday. As soon as Jesus rose from the dead, we Christians believe that, the first generation church started worshiping not on the Sabbath anymore, but on Sunday, which is when Jesus rose, Easter Sunday. That's when Easter, the first Easter, became the first day of the week. The first day of the week is the Lord's week, or is the Lord's day. So Sunday is the beginning of the week. It just is.
But
you don't like that, you take it up with God.
I'll take it up. Well, Jesus likes the NFL because Jesus used to spend a lot of money on those commercials that would run on Sunday. So I wonder if he would hold the same opinion. But Dwayne, it's always great to hook up with you. I appreciate it a lot, and we'll talk next week. Dwayne Patterson, appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
All right, we'll see.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.